Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of our Terriers Together talk series. I'm pleased today to be joined by our head of HR and EDI, Zoe Shackleton, and Deborah Garlick of Henpicked. Deborah, if we start with yourself, would you just mind introducing yourself to the listeners, please?
Yes, absolutely. I'm Deborah Garlick from Henpicked, as you said, but I'm also the creator of Menopause Friendly Accreditation and Menstruation Friendly Accreditation.
Amazing. And Zoe, listeners will probably be familiar with yourself by now, but if you could just give a brief overview of who you are, please.
Yep, of course. So I'm Zoe. I'm the head of HR and EDI at Huddersfield Town Football Club. I've worked there just over 6.5 years now. I'm really proud of the work that we've been doing under the heading of Terriers Together.
Perfect. The reason that we wanted to get together and have this conversation today, Deborah, was around the accreditations that the football club have recently received in terms of both menopause and menstruation. But more than discussing what we've done to get those, it was more, why have you put them in place? What's the importance of having them? Could you just give us a little bit of history and background on your journey in those areas and what's motivated you to create these accreditations?
Absolutely. And now, I've been doing this a long time. I started my journey supporting other people's menopause back in 2015. And if we look at back then, we couldn't find a menopause policy in the land. I was working with the team that was supporting the Government Equality Office. And we really did look for what's the best practice here. And we couldn't find anything. And maybe now, having been on this journey for such a long time, I get that. You know, menopause was a hush topic. It was taboo. And we really hadn't appreciated as a society how many of us would be working through our menopause and beyond and the impact that it could have on us. So that's where my journey started. And I started to talk to various organisations and back in 2016 decided that actually we'll have a conference on menopause in the workplace. And that was really novel. It seems now that it was the first in the world. And that was great because we attracted some amazing names to that session. And whilst they came into the room looking a little bit confused about what this was all about, they left with the intention to help join us in changing that. So we worked with those organisations and we started to see, I think it was the CIPD that said by the end of 2018, around about 1 in 10 organisations were starting to take action. But that's not enough. When we consider changing a subject that is taboo and stigma into something that's very normal, a normal conversation, it takes a lot more than that. So we were working with employers and we got so busy working with employers and hearing from so many that they wanted to see what others were doing. We launched the membership, the Menopause Friendly Membership, and organisations are so generous and they support their ideas. You know, I'm sure so many have got ideas from Zoe around what she's been doing and how she's been doing it. So working together, those employers have been able to accelerate their journey. And so that is the progress. But for us, what needed to be truly meaningful, if you're going to change the context, if you're going to change the culture around menopause, is that it's not a tick box exercise. You don't just put a policy in place and hold a training session and expect something to go from taboo and stigma to normal. What we wanted to do is create something that was truly meaningful in recognition of organisation that could really demonstrate that they changed the lived experience for somebody experiencing the menopause. And that's what we went to do, or that's what we set out to do. And of course, you know, we're still a long way from done, but I actually credit employers like Huddersfield Town Football Club for helping society change the way we think about menopause. Because when organisations, when people hear about this in work, they go home and they talk about it in their families. So I say kudos to the employers of the UK for making a stand and making a difference and making something that is truly meaningful and that sticks.
That's really interesting to hear, Deborah. That's such a topic that affects so many people. But like you say, it's correct in that a lot of people don't talk about it and avoid it. Zoe, I'm interested from your perspective, from leading the club's efforts in your position, When was the first time that you heard about the accreditations, and what was your motivation in wanting the football club to bring itself up to speed in these regards?
Yeah. So I'm going to rewind to kind of 2021. And as a club, I can honestly say I'd never heard of Henpecked, but I became aware of Henpecked from being a member of a kind of Kirklees Diversity Equals Innovation Network. And it was somebody from the University of Huddersfield, actually, who signposted me towards Henpecked, because I'd said to her, you know, we're kind of looking at menopause as one of the things that we'll focus on next in our equality, diversity and inclusion adventure. So that was my kind of first introduction to Henpecked, but not to the menopause friendly accreditation. That came a bit later. But, you know, in that year, we'd just kind of been accredited as an intermediate club for the Premier League Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Standard. And we'd basically ripped up the rule book on how we were going to approach the next phase of the work that we were doing. And we'd said to the people who give out that accreditation, these three-year action plans that you want us to have, they're really not working for us. We need a longer period of time to move the dial on some of the things that we want to do. So we'd been quite bold and said, you know, we're going to take a 10-year approach to this. And we were actually kind of ahead of the game, because menopause was within that sort of 10-year strategy, but we'd got to the point of, right, we can look at this earlier than anticipated. And it was one of those kind of serendipitous moments, I think, where we were in a position to start the work, and then the accreditation appeared, you know, as if by magic, at the same time. So it was a kind of very easy conversation, really, to have within our internal working group as to, yes, this is something that we should sign up towards, you know, trying to achieve. But I think, you know, as a football club, we're kind of almost 4 years in to having conversations about menopause and more recently menstruation. I think it's been a phenomenal kind of shift for everybody, but primarily, I would say, more so for our male colleagues. And you know, Deborah will be aware of this, I've said this many times. If I could give any advice to anybody, well, there'd be two things: get your most senior person involved, and get your male colleagues involved, because, like you've just said, Deborah, that the impact and the power of people going home and saying, oh, I've had some training on this today, that's been just kind of revolutionary. I mean, Raj, yourself, you've even spoken about that, of having a better understanding of, you know, what your mum might have been going through, and now as a father yourself with a young daughter, understanding what she's potentially going to face as she grows up. I think that's just been really powerful. So, really, really proud that we've kind of led the way within our industry on having these conversations, but maintaining them as well, because that's been, again, so important. It's not a case of we got an accreditation and then said job done. No, there's a conversation, if not every day, at least every week in our office around menopause. I mean, we have ongoing battles over the air conditioning, for example, and everybody's at a different stage of their body temperature. As a woman, and, you know, it's having that understanding of what works for one doesn't work for somebody else. So having things like desk fans in place for those who are maybe a little bit warmer, sitting people near windows if they need that kind of fresh air, having that kind of understanding of, you know, we've got to think about this, and it changes every day. I think that's just been really kind of powerful and impactful for everybody.
Yeah, I completely agree with what you said, Zoe, especially speaking, as you say, as a male colleague of yours, it has been something that's been impactful. I think the way we positioned it as a club, as something that we all did together, it wasn't a voluntary act. It was something we all sat and did training on. We all had conversations around. So we all upskilled ourselves and had a deeper understanding together. So like you say, when there's silly things like desk fans and things dotted around the office where people might have raised an eyebrow previously, there's an understanding as to why that might be in place, and people are more comfortable having conversations. There's, you know, ladies shouting across the office telling people about air conditioning, like you say, if they want them to turn it up or turn it down. And you're more than right as well. In my private life, luckily I've been raised in a matriarchy, so I've never been shy about discussing these matters, and I'm all the better for it. But actually having the scientific knowledge of why my mum might be feeling the way she's feeling, why if I've sent her a text last week, she's forgotten. She might not be as organised or as useful as she previously was. These sort of things, having the base understanding actually gives you a bit more, not so much empathy, but a better understanding of what somebody's going through, and you can be more supportive in your personal and professional life. Deborah, I suppose for you, having put this in place, hopefully that's exactly what you wanted to hear. That's the sort of case study and desire you wanted to have.
Absolutely. And men and menopause, you know, I think we've come a long way, and Huddersfield Town have been leading the way in this, that it's not just a women's issue. It's something everyone needs to know about. It's a life skill. And, you know, some of the examples from Huddersfield Town Football Club that I've heard, the guy that took flowers home to his mum and said, I don't think I didn't understand this before. That's true allyship, isn't it? That is when it, you know, it's not you experiencing it. But for me, more than that, I don't think we really had the language before to talk about these subjects. We didn't have the awareness, the education, it didn't start in schools. So as you build the confidence in that language and break down the barriers, because for some of us, it's relatively easy to talk about menopause, but for others, it is harder and you do have to keep it going. And that's what we've seen with menstruation as well, isn't it, Zoe? We hear from so many people that come to the training sessions, and if it's a colleague session, we have people saying things like, this is remarkable. I never knew that my period, I've been struggling with my periods, I've had painful periods, and I didn't realise that there was something I could do about that. Or you start your period and you're sort of told, yeah, that's what you're going to get every month, but you don't know it's not normal. So you don't know to seek help if you've got a menstrual health condition, for example. And similarly, managers can feel very nervous talking about menopause now. I can imagine it's easy now in Huddersfield Town Football Club, because you're so used to talking about menopause that taking that extra step and making it menstruation as well, and giving people the education and the training to be able to use the right words and not feel embarrassed about it, that's a remarkable difference.
I think you're absolutely right there, Deborah, that, you know, having already started a dialogue about menopause, it definitely paved the way for extending that to a dialogue around menstruation. Obviously, I can't say for sure, but I feel like it would have been more difficult the other way around if we'd started with menstruation and then gone on to talk about menopause. I can't exactly put my finger on why, but maybe it's, I don't know, people can often be a bit sort of queasy or squeamish about talking about bodily fluids and that kind of thing, which I totally get. But, you know, from my own experience, I've struggled with heavy periods for a long time, and being able to have a conversation, not just with my line manager, but with other people about what I've been experiencing and, you know, why I get so tired, not so much now because I've had surgery recently, we can come on to that, but, you know, having an iron deficiency but not knowing. So it's those things that, you know, if you don't understand what's normal for you or where there's a change, or actually that's all you've ever experienced, but that still might not be normal, having the courage to go to your doctor, that's a big thing. You know, so what we've done in the football club is make sure we've got that allyship across the whole business. And anybody, I think, would be willing to go to a doctor's appointment with a colleague if they needed that support, you know, for somebody to maybe speak on their behalf if they can't find the words themselves. And again, you know, I really do think some of our colleagues have gone and sought that advice, and maybe they wouldn't have if we hadn't been working on these accreditations. And the whole range of symptoms that people can experience, from, you know, heavy periods, feeling tired, the brain fog, and that's not just menstruation, it tips over into perimenopause as well, feeling afraid of getting in the car and driving even a short distance to work. you know, that those are things that have had a massive impact on people's lives. And I, you know, genuinely think that we've been able to make some of that better from what we've been doing. Using the correct language, as you said earlier, Deborah, we were calling period products sanitary products until we started menstruation-friendly accreditation and that process. And that first training session that we had where, you know, the facilitator was saying, gotta use the right language. The signs came down the next day and they went up and said period products. but again, normalizing the language, it's so, so important. And, you know, me, I've got two daughters, being able to talk openly at home and help them through what they're experiencing, and my husband going on that learning curve as well. Hopefully, you know, we are doing that bit of making this better, not just in our own little units, but for society as well.
Yeah, I can speak to that again from being a colleague. I've been in a lucky position where I've been able to line manage female colleagues. And even previously, I think because of the work we've done in menopause, if somebody's been having an off day or they didn't seem quite themselves, and you ask out of careness, are you okay? They have a bit more of a confidence to share what it might be, and they don't have a discomfort with disclosing that information, like you said, Zoe, with your own circumstances. They have a belief and understanding that they're going to be taken in the spirit that's intended as well, which is great for a manager, that people feel comfortable being themselves in the workplace. And I'm not sure how common that is at other places. I can't speak to that, having not worked there, but it's genuinely lovely that's our environment here. Deborah, one thing that I wanted to ask you about, and specifically about the accreditations themselves, is these aren't something that are just handed out to people that want them, or they're not just given to those that you're friends with or that you think have the great intentions. There is some work that goes into this. There's evidence that has to be delivered and shown, and it takes quite a bit of work. I'm under the understanding that you refuse people sometimes the accreditation if they're not up to code as well. Can you just talk to us about what it actually takes to receive these?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have been putting my heart symbols up here, because everything that I'm hearing from you is exactly what we would expect from an organisation that's achieved accreditation. But you're right, Raj, it's not easy to get. And we don't make any apologies for that, because we want to see change happen. So if I look at the process is an organisation at the start of their journey, or when they decide to get serious about this, can have a badge that says they are committed to being a menopause-friendly employer. But then through the membership, there's a lot of support around. I know I'm doing a session today on how to create a menopause policy and look at your practices. So you get that support of every stage, whether it's awareness, engagement, training, policies, changes in the environment, what good really looks like. And of course, you get resources three or four times a year so that you can communicate and take that narrative that much further in your organisation. It does make it easier for the member, because they're all ready packed and you can cascade them out. But that's when you're committed and you're working through the process. When you're ready to apply for the accreditation, we do a session on how to apply and what the independent panel are going to be looking for, so you can assess yourself whether you're there yet or not. But then when you are ready to apply, then you upload all of your details, everything that you've done, how you've done it. You upload the evidence, and that's key, because this is not a tick box. The panel do expect to see evidence of the change that's made in your organisation, and because they're very careful that this is a, you know, it's a well-earned badge. This one, it's not just given out at all. It's a well-earned badge, and they are very cautious. But looking at the independent panel, the reason we wanted an independent panel is just so we're not marking our own homework. Exactly as you said, Raj, we're not giving these out to our friends or people that we've worked with. They have to be earned through an independent panel. Nobody at Henpicked can award this badge. only the independent panel can. And the independent panel are from different walks of life. So if you look at the employment lawyers, the business leaders, the ED&I leads in there, and, you know, together they will look at a panel, the academics as well, they will look at an application, and it's usually three, maybe four sometimes, that look at every single application. And it's remarkable because they'll see different things in it. So they'll have a really good conversation on a panel day and say what they really like. They'll also say what would be better if. And there's three potential outcomes from one of those panel meetings. One is, yes, that's a clear pass, which is amazing. And the applicant does get a report to say what's particularly good. They usually get, even the good ones do get a, would be better if, have you thought about doing that? Because we want to keep that journey going. It could be that the panel are not quite sure and they might ask for more information or more evidence. Doesn't mean it's a no, it means a, it looks like you're on the right path, but we want to see some more evidence in this area. And sometimes there is a no. You know, now and then we do get somebody that applies and hasn't really done it. They just want to wear the exclusive badge as an accredited employer and they'll just apply. But the independent panel are really rigorous. Actually, I think they're the silent witness of panels because they are quite forensic when they go through one. That is the process. And we know that this is best practice. I'm sure you're aware that we won an award from the BSI for our support in writing the Menopause and Menstruation Guidance, BSI Guide. And that came from years of experience of actually supporting employers. But that's how we know that this is, if you like, best practice in accordance with the BSI guidance.
That's really interesting to hear. And I think it gives people a bit of confidence that when the football club are talking about what we've done and our intention in these spaces, Zoe, that we're doing it for the right reasons. We're not just ticking boxes. We're not doing things because we think it's nice to be doing them. We're putting the hard yards in to make sure. And I think I know from sitting on working groups alongside you that our intention in doing this is we see ourselves as a community asset, as a leader in not just our local area, but within football as well. And we want to be cutting edge in this regard, and if we can. And it'd be nice to hopefully see other people follow suit, because if we're able to do it, then obviously other people can as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, we're a football club, so there'll be an awful lot of people who, you know, can't really understand why we're doing this work, and that's absolutely fine. You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinions, and some people only want to watch or support the club because of what's going on the pitch. Again, that's absolutely fine. I'm never going to criticise that. However, you know, behind the scenes, having a team of people who every day feel they can turn up and be their authentic selves, regardless of what's going on in their life, and you know, they know they can access the help and support that they need to come to work and do the best possible job that they can do. That all, in my opinion, does impact on how we perform on the pitch. You know, we've got such a dedicated team of people, but if anybody's feeling a bit off colour, you know, that then chances are they might not do their best that day or feel that they've not done their best, but we can make that better for them by being supportive and reassuring and giving them the help that they need, you know, and not to feel guilty if they need to work from home, you know, for example, one day or take some time out to prioritise their own health and wellbeing needs. I think that makes us all collectively much, much stronger and more productive, and you know, I think it does impact on how we all perform. But you're right, Raj, you know, in terms of us being a community asset, you know, we're based in quite a big community in Kirklees, and being able to kind of extrapolate the work that we've been doing internally to our supporters through things like our Women's Plus network, where we've had, you know, a guest speaker who came in and talked about menopause. And that was such a well-attended session, and it was completely myth-busting and very straight talking. But, you know, that's, I think, what people needed. You know, been an awful lot said in the press over the years around HRT and, you know, the risks of taking that. And yeah, of course, there are risks for some people, but that kind of session of, you know, giving people up-to-date education, I think that's been so empowering. And, you know, giving people the confidence to maybe go back to their doctor if they've perhaps felt a bit fobbed off of, no, you can't possibly be perimenopausal, come back in 6 months, or, you know, and those are the experiences that we've heard. But again, you know, going back to what I said earlier, having somebody, whether it's myself or somebody else, saying, well, okay, I'll come with you, or let's phone your doctor together. And, you know, we're not going to be fobbed off. We're going to insist that you get the support that you need. I think that's just made all the difference. And, you know, on match days, we've got the complimentary period products for our supporters. So anybody can access those products if they need them. And we've been doing that actually, that massively predates being a menopause and menstruation friendly employer. We've been doing that since around 2018. Again, because we pride ourselves on doing the right thing and not necessarily the easiest thing.
Thank you so much for sharing all that, Zoe. I think that's been a really illuminating discussion with you both. And it's really interesting, even though I've been part of the process from our side, to listen to it all again and remember the stuff that we've done to get to this position where we can talk about it. So I just wanted to thank you both for your time. Deborah, just to finish the conversation off, if people want to learn more about what you do or Henpicked or want to get involved themselves, would you just share how they're able to first learn about you more but get started on the process themselves?
Thank you. And yes, if you can go to henpicked.net, there's two sections on there. What we do for individuals, which is all available, like the Menopause Hub or the community, the free lunch and learns that we do. Or you can go to the employer section, which does give more details of menopause friendly and menstruation friendly. And we'd probably do a call to action, wouldn't we, Zoe? Because we've seen the huge difference this makes to people's lives. And every employer should be a menopause friendly employer. And if you take the time and you do it right, it sticks and it makes the change. It makes the difference for good. Because what we're talking about is cultural change, which helps people today and for generations to come.
Perfect. Thank you again for your time. And if anybody wants to listen to any more of our Terriers Together talk series or learn anything more about what we do in our EDI work through Terriers Together, then have a look at our webpages, have a look at our social media channels, and everything's available there.